welcome to the Sikkim Sportscast. I'm Steve Cook, here with your editor and publisher, Kevin Longquist. And, Kevin, Baylor really wants to put that Kansas State game behind them.
Yeah, I think it's a game where they probably feel like it couldn't get any worse than it did. And I think what's interesting is how, you know, the perspective that they have about trying to compartmentalize this game as what they talked about when they met with the media, the players did on Tuesday, and talked about that. And, you know, it's saying the right things. Even Dave Aranda said, you know, the right things in his Monday presser. And that's fine. And they have some good perspective on this, but it's ultimately going to come down to how they approach the game and how they play the game against TCU. Are they going to let the Kansas State game define them, or are they going to bounce back? It doesn't mean they're going to win on Saturday, but they have to give a far better effort, spirited effort. And you know, the rival should do something to that. Should you know, summon just raw emotion anyway. And if anyone wants to wreck TCU's season, it should be their arch rival 100 miles south of them, and that's the Bears. And so, you know, we'll see how this all unfolds.
Yeah, now, you know, a good press conference does not put a point on the board or take a point off of the board.
Right.
I think what a lot of people are having trouble comprehending is how Baylor could come into that game so flat.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't so much flat against Kansas State. It seemed like to me that they just, I think when Kansas State just punched them in the mouth, if you will, against with that 97-yard touchdown drive, that just seemed to change the whole tenor of this game, where they just did not respond. And that's the thing that surprises me. I said this on ESPN Central Texas on Tuesday with Matt Mosley, is that it just shocked me how they did not respond to that. Because Kansas State, you take that as a haymaker, but in all intents and purposes, it was kind of like a knockout blow or a standing eight count.
Yeah, and this is something, though, that Kansas State does. They go out there, they're not flashy, they play solid offense, they play solid defense, they don't screw up on special teams, and they figure, we're going to push you long enough, you're going to crack.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look forward to TCU, you know, TCU, we watched part of that Oklahoma game that TCU played against them. TCU can hang a half hundred on you if you're not up to speed.
Well, the thing about TCU, and I've been saying this all year long, is that it wasn't like they were devoid of any kind of skill players when Sonny Dykes got there. I'm really of the opinion more of watching them this year. And I've watched them, you know, I mean, I watched them in person when they played SMU back in late September. And then, of course, just watching them the following week against OU, and then just, you know, had the TV on when they were playing Texas. I just think the one thing that just keeps coming back to me is the fact that I think Gary Patterson just pretty much wore it out, had just kind of gone as far as he could go there at TCU, and guys were tuning him out. And the other thing about the Horned Frogs is that they're really talented. Their skill players are probably some of the best in the conference, if not the country. When you have a playmaker like Quentin Johnson, he is such a difference maker. And, you know, the other thing is about Kendry Miller, he's an explosive running back. Max Duggan's having a great season. He seems to have clicked with Garrett Riley. He's probably going to be the Big 12 player of the year. I don't see why he wouldn't be now after this, unless he just implodes in these last two games. But just the way that they've all responded, and the other thing that TCU does really well, they are explosive. And if they get to the edge down the sideline, you better find a way to figure that out, because TCU will rock you by doing that. They can burn so many teams by getting to the outside and down the sideline. I mean, that's how they scored one of their touchdowns against Texas.
And, you know, it looks like title game, the Big 12 championships game, is going to have a distinctly purple tint to it. Because unless
yeah.
Kansas State
implodes, and if they lose their last two,
unless they lose their last two, they're there. But the other thing, I was kind of looking up while we were talking, and you know, this is going to be the first time in 10 years, I think, that a team not named Baylor or Oklahoma is going to be the Big 12 champion. Now, it's usually Oklahoma, but Baylor's got three of them in there. But those two have dominated. Neither one of them are going to be in it this year.
Right. Well, I mean, well, Baylor won its two championships without the Big 12 championship game in 13 and 14. They've been in the title game two out of the last 3 years. But to your point, yeah, you're right. I mean, TCU was actually one of the opponents that Oklahoma faced. What was it? 18, I think it was. But you know, for Kansas, you know, TCU's already clinched the spot, so we know that half of that has already been settled. And all Kansas State has to do is win one of its last two against in Morgantown this Saturday, or at home against Kansas in the finale, and they will have clinched the other berth. Now there's some combinations that, you know, like they implode, or you know, but the other thing is that, you know, if Baylor doesn't win one of these last two, they're out of it. I think there's like a 4 or 5% chance that Baylor could get in, but it's really kind of like what they need to do is just focus on the first quarter against TCU and play a straight up first quarter and not worry about, well, you know, if this happens and this happens, because you don't need to worry about that. You need to figure out why it went so bad against Kansas mm-hmm. State, make the adjustment and come back and play far better against your rival. That's what they've got to focus on and not worry about how they're still technically, mathematically alive in the Big 12 title chase.
Yeah, and one of the things that's been kind of weird to me on the Big 12 this year, remember how the Big 12 reputation used to be all offense, no defense? You don't hear much about the quarterbacks this year. Like, okay, Duggan is a good, serviceable quarterback. He's probably the best quarterback in the Big 12. But, you know, you're not hearing about anybody that, you know, like a Patrick Mahomes or a Sam Bradford or anybody like that right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was something that Matt Rhule kind of, you know, he, for whatever anyone thinks about Matt, I think what he and Matt Campbell did is they kind of changed the tenor of the conference from being so offensively driven to it becoming more of a defensive type of league, or at least incorporating more of a defensive presence to it. And I think there's been something to that. And, you know, Chris Klieman has that attitude where he, you know, he was obviously so successful at North Dakota State, and he's brought that hard-nosed mentality, that sort of thing. And, and then it transfers down to just making plays and getting the right stops. And you know, this league is kind of transformed from, and I think it's helped its reputation, too, by going in this direction.
I don't know. I know that what I'm looking at with TCU is that, and I don't know why it would change, but the Baylor defensive line has to show up.
Well, you could have said that from the opening game to now.
Yes, but, you know, I don't know what's going on. Like,
No, I know what's going on. They're not playing very well, and they're getting pushed around, and they're not getting stops, and they're not rushing the quarterback very well. They're not getting enough quarterback pressure, and they're not getting enough stops in the running game, and they're playing poorly. I mean, that's exactly what this problem is with this defensive front. It's had a really bad year this year.
Yeah, way to sugarcoat it there, Kevin.
Well, yeah, I think we were really hoping that after the, you know, from what we saw against Texas Tech a couple of weeks ago, that was really good, you know, that we were thinking, okay, maybe they finally turned the corner, because the pressure was great against Baron Morton. He was all over the place, but he is a true freshman quarterback, and he looked rattled for the first time in his career. So there was something to do with that. But look what happened after Tech. Very experienced quarterback against Dylan Gabriel, very experienced quarterbacks, even though Adrian Martinez only played one series. But then Will Howard, but Will's been a veteran in Kansas State's offense, you know, for years. And so when you play against a veteran quarterback, there's a difference in terms of him not being rattled and knowing what to expect and how to handle that when things start to go up and down. And I think that's probably what the difference is that I think we all, I don't want to say we got fooled, but I think we were hoping that what they did against Baron Morton and Tech out in Lubbock was a signal that things had turned the corner. It just haven't, because they wind up giving up 500 yards to the Sooners last week, and even though they won, and it's a great win in Norman, no disrespect there, but they gave up 500 yards, and then they gave up 400 plus to Kansas State. They just aren't getting what they need from this front to dictate this.
All right, well, let's move on to something a little bit happier. I got to go Monday and do my first Baylor basketball game of the year for me. And Scott Drew got his 400th win at Baylor. Now, he's got, I think, like 420-some-odd altogether. But he got his 400th win at Baylor. And from watching the team, I can tell you that Keontae George does not have a confidence problem.
Yeah, no. You know, the thing about Keontae is that he is so gifted. He's very smooth. And even though he had an off shooting night against Northern Colorado on Monday, he just does everything on the floor so well. And that's, you know, he's going to be fun to watch as this season develops. And, you know, and I think, and by the way, I thought the way Dale Bonner played coming off the bench, just some instant offense coming from him, and the fact that he's, you know, he's got a little bit of ball hawkishness as a defender. He could be kind of an interesting guy coming off the bench for them to help them, because I think maybe that's where some of the questions for this team is, that what exactly are they going to get off the bench? Because LJ Cryer's not going to be coming off the bench. He's going to be starting. And so, and then the other thing is going to be is, what are they going to get from the post? They're a little thin there. You know, you know what you're going to get from Flo, but you know, the other thing about them is, it's still going to be, and by the way, Jalen Bridges, the start that he's off to, you want to say, man, that's a home run. Of course, the whole season has to develop, first of all, but I really think that it's a case where they're athletic. They're really, they're a fast team, by the way. And that's important, especially when you want to run the transition. They've done a great job doing that. And I think that from the standpoint that they got exactly what they wanted out of, you know, these three games against Mississippi Valley State, Norfolk State, and Northern Colorado. It's all, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so, and I'm so-and-so. You're going to be here on the floor, and I'm going to be there on the floor, and we're going to figure it all out. You know, that sort of thing. My feeling is that they're just going to continue to get together, and that's why, or get better rather, that's what these three games were for, is to kind of get them into a rhythm with each other, and then kind of hopefully it'll start to transition when they start to play these games that'll test them a little bit more, starting with Virginia on Friday.
Right now, the Caleb Lohner, you know, transfer from Brigham Young, he's 6'8", but he's also pretty broad, and he takes up a lot of space when he's in there. And the guy is a very physical player.
Yeah.
I've got a series of shots of him driving to the basket, and seriously, he looks like he's going for the goal line. but I thought that Dale Bonner had a really good game. It was just, you looked, and it was like everybody got in there. Now, one of the things that's a little bit tricky is that, you know, the level of competition they were playing against, it's a different animal. Moves that work on those guys aren't going to work on some of the other teams that they're going to have to do it against.
Sure, and that's going to be really interesting to see what they do here against Virginia, because Virginia under Tony Bennett, of course, Virginia won the national title in 2019, and that was that great overtime game against Texas Tech. But Virginia is, you know, always known for their great defense. It should be a low possession game. They did not play on Monday because of the tragic shooting that involved the football team. They were scheduled to play Northern Iowa. That game got canceled because of that horrific event out there. No issues about playing on Friday against Baylor out in Las Vegas. So, in fact, Scott Drew was asked about that. It is under pressure on Wednesday, and he goes, if there were any discussions about canceling this game, he goes, I wasn't aware of it. So it looks like it's game on at 6 o'clock in the Continental main event. That'll be at a T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And by the way, the other game of that doubleheader is going to be UCLA and Illinois. So Baylor's going to get one of those teams, win or lose. But I think the one thing that the Bears are going to have to be very careful of here is just how well Virginia will lock you up defensively. And they've got to get ready for that because Baylor wants to get out on the floor. And if Virginia can try and keep this game between 70 and 75, that's going to favor the Cavaliers. If the Bears can speed it up a little bit more, that's going to be to their favor. There are a couple guys on this team for Virginia that I think that people need to kind of watch will be, you know, Armon Franklin, who's a senior guard, 6'4". He's a big guard, too. Another tall kid by the name of Ryan Dunn. He's actually a freshman out of New York, and he's off to a good start. So the Cavaliers, you know, they know how to win. They know how to play big-time basketball, of course, as we've seen. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great test. And then regardless of what happens on Friday, is they're going to get Illinois or UCLA, and those two teams are ranked. UCLA UCLA, you know, top 10. Illinois in the top 25. Of course, the Bears saw Illinois a couple of years ago. But it would be fun to see them play. You know, whoever they play, they're going to get great tests. That's for sure.
All right, let's pick a few games.
All right, let's do it.
We start out with Kansas State at West Virginia. I mean, you got to go Kansas State. West Virginia's in utter turmoil right now. You know, despite getting that surprise win over Oklahoma, I just don't see Kansas State's got everything to play for.
Sure. I mean, I would think, I mean, now it's always a struggle going up there, but I think Kansas State's defense is playing really, really well. And, you know, West Virginia, there's a lot of clouds there because, you know, they got rid of Shane Lyons, their athletic director. And I'm sure Neil Brown's tenure there is probably going to be, who knows? But I'm going to go with Kansas State. I think it'll be close. I think West Virginia will play the cat straight up and push them very hard, but I think Kansas State will win it.
All right, now here's one I don't really know what to think about. It's Texas at Kansas. Kansas is one of those schools that has always given – when Kansas only had two wins in like 10 years in the Big 12, they were both over Texas. And they got it home. They're a better team. They got embarrassed at Texas Tech last week. And both these teams are coming off bad losses – and you don't know which team's going to be mad enough to come back and take it.
You know, I'm going to go Kansas because I think Texas is one of those mental midget teams that once it starts to go bad on them, they're going to fade. And I just think Kansas is going to beat them.
And I will also go Kansas, and if Kansas wins, it is going to be fun to read the Texas message boards because nobody melts down like a Texas fan. All right, and then you've got Texas Tech at Iowa State. I'm going with the Red Raiders. I think Joey McGuire has done a pretty credible job with what he's had to work with this year.
If he gets them to bowl eligibility, of course they were bowl eligible last year too. But if he gets them to bowl eligibility this year, that would be a good step in the right direction for them, especially how they've had to deal with so much quarterback turnover. The way that position has been a revolving door, and the fact that the Red Raiders are one of the worst teams in the conference taking care of the football. But I'm going to go with the Red Raiders here because Iowa State's offense just can't move the football. And I think Tech will get enough drives to win it.
All right. And then we've got Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. And you know what makes picking Big 12 games so tough this year is that with the exception of TCU, everybody's got an embarrassing loss. I mean, not just a loss, but an embarrassing loss. All right. I'm going Oklahoma State because I think Oklahoma's getting ready to pack it in for the year.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. Bedlam is what it is, and I think Mike Gundy's steamed that this rivalry game is over. And I was reading his presser, and he's trying to downplay it, of course. But I think it's a little bit, it's got a little bit more on him, and for him to win this game, especially in Norman, and with Oklahoma's defense as poor as it is. I'm going to go with the Cowboys to win in Norman.
Okay, and so that's two for the Cowboys. Now, I only picked one game, and we can do UCLA-USC if you want to.
Yes, we are doing it. Okay. Yes, we are absolutely doing that game.
Okay, but I've got Utah at Oregon, and this is same record, same, you know, and it's inside track to the title.
I think the Ducks will bounce back and win this game. And, you know, they got stunned by Washington last week, but I think the Ducks will bounce back and beat the Utes.
I'll go. You went the Ducks, so I'll go the Utes. It's not like I got money on it. All right. And then UCLA and USC. I'm going Trojans.
I'm going Bruins.
Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Only just because I'm just to throw a hat. Well, it's in the Rose Bowl, but you know, not that that really matters. But and I know, but I think. You know, especially in light of the fact that the Bruins got stunned by Arizona last week, and I think that they got caught flat-footed. Maybe they were looking ahead to the Trojans, but I mean, that obviously just ruined UCLA's chances to get to the Pac-12 championship game. But I think that they would like to do nothing better than to knock off USC and get the victory bell.
All right, and then we've got TCU at Baylor, and I'll go ahead and take the bullet first. I think TCU is going to take this. I'll go 31-17.
I'm going to go TCU as well. I'm going to go 31-22 in this game. And look, it doesn't really matter what my picks have been. I had Baylor going 11-1 this year, so I think I've won maybe five of those picks this year. So my whole season's gone right into the dumper in terms of picking Baylor games this year. But, you know, I mean, I would like to see – what I really want to see is Baylor just play far better and push the Horned Frogs. And if they find a way to pull it out at the end – if Baylor wins this game, it's going to be an upset, and it's going to come late. I do not expect them to just completely blow the doors off at TCU. I'm not looking for that. Few should look for that either, unless TCU completely doesn't show up, which I can't believe that would be the case based on the fact that they're in the college football playoff hunt right now. But I think that Baylor will do everything it can to pull off this upset. I just don't think it's going to be enough, and TCU wins it.
All right, and before we close it out, I just want to mention one more time, pretty amazing that Scott Drew came to Baylor when it was at its absolute lowest spot, has got his 400th win. And I think he is getting close to having twice as many wins as any other Baylor coach. And he had a lot of chances to go someplace else, and he didn't. So I'll leave it with that, and you want to close it out for us.
Okay, Baylor Blitz will be on Friday, of course. We'll have the advance two for the 11 o'clock kickoff against the Horned Frogs later on Friday, and then full coverage of the Bears and the Horned Frogs for the 118th time. One of the oldest rivalries in all of college football, but senior day as well for the Bears, 11 o'clock. And, of course, Fox's big noon kickoff will be there as well. So a lot of festivities around there, and we'll see what the Bears can do against the Horned Frogs. And we will talk to you all next week on the Sikkim Sportscast.